The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Thank you guys again for being here. And it's awesome to see each and every one of you. We had a great day yesterday at our pre-registration VBS kickoff party. It was a blast, and man, just it's been neat to see all that God's done so far. So I'm excited about this week, and I'm excited about this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about what Vacation Bible School is going to look like for our kids. But here's the thing. It's not just for the kids. I never did this, but I had a pastor one time who told me that if you ever want to learn Greek, teach Greek. I can't really spell Greek, so I could eat Greek food. I like that, but I did take Greek, and I passed, thank goodness. But then I left it in the dust and haven't looked back. But in order to teach things, you have to kind of internalize them, and it helps if you know them, right? If I'm going to teach something to somebody, it's better if I know it, if I'm familiar with it, if I'm at least acquainted with it. And so as we look at this idea of magnifying God and in the magnificence of God this week, I want to just talk this morning real briefly about what that means. The theme verse for Vacation Bible School is Psalm 34:3. It says this: "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together." That's what we've done so far this morning. We've come in and we've sang praises to God. We've lifted up our praise to God. But that word, that phrase, magnify, is interesting. To magnify means to hold in great admiration or awe. Now, cool words, what do they mean? Right? Admiration. That's a word that you, I mean, like when I go to Wendy's, I'm like, man, that Baconator was admirable. No, we don't use that in our everyday language. And awe. We, in the South, we say, aw, bless your heart. It has a different meaning altogether. But what do those words mean? Have y'all ever been just starstruck by something? Met somebody? Listen, Nolan Ryan waved at me. Like, waved at me. We tried to lock him in at the Texas Rangers baseball stadium so he'd have to get out and sign our autograph. And instead he just called security, and they came and removed us from the area. But as he was going out, some guy stuck his kid. Now, this is crazy. I was like 8 years old. Somebody stuck his kid in front of Nolan Ryan's car trying to get Nolan Ryan to stop, which he didn't. But, you know, he slowed down enough to look out his window and do this to me. Man, as an 8-year-old kid, my mouth went like this. Nolan Ryan just waved at the hand that he threw the no-hitters with. He waved at me with that hand. I was starstruck. I was in awe because of someone's prestige, their greatness. To magnify means when we think about what God does, we think about God's greatness. We're starstruck by who he is and what he does. We admire it. We look on it with fondness. And as adults, we don't do this as much, but I'm going to pick on Miss Monica for a second. We were sitting outside the other night at the house, and everybody was decorating for VBS, and we were outside of the house, and Miss Monica looked up and said, "Hey, there's lightning bugs. I'm going to go catch a lightning bug," which my kids love, because that's how we spend hours at night, is catching lightning bugs. And next thing I know, they're all tramping through the woods around our house, or I don't know, not really woods, that's the trees. They were tracing to the trees, trying to catch lightning bugs. But have y'all ever like stopped and look at lightning bugs? Isn't it cool? If you were just, a lot of times as adults, we get so busy, we get so caught up in going places. I'm a terrible driver sometimes when I've never been there, because I don't watch the road, I watch everything that's around me. It's that awe of who God is in his bigness and his greatness, and it causes us just to admire him. So that's one meaning of the word magnify, is to hold in admiration or awe. Another meaning of magnify also means to make larger or increase its significance. So, this is a useful prop that I'm hoping is not portable. So, this is a what? Magnifying glass. What does it do? It makes smaller things bigger. That's what a magnifying glass does. And so to magnify also means to make larger or to increase the significance of it. This week, the whole theme is magnify, and it's told from like a Bug's Life version. I feel like everything's big and it's great and it's wonderful. And that's the kind of idea that this week wants to capture too, is to magnify, to make large God's creation, to see it from a child's perspective. And so as we look at these things, a couple ideas I just want to get to you. We magnify God's majesty. Now, majesty is another one of those weird words we don't really use a lot, but it's his greatness, his might, his supremacy, his matchlessness. And so this week, as we're teaching kids, as you're at Vacation Bible School, maybe you're not going to come to Vacation Bible School. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got to work and you've got other things you've got to do this week. This week, how can you magnify God's majesty? How can you look at awe and wonder about his majesty, but then also the fact that he cares about you? I've been in youth ministry for a long time, and before I was actually old enough to be hired as a youth pastor, because they like you to have, like, you know, your life together and not just be a dumb kid. But before I got into it, what I did is I planned youth conferences. So as an 18-year-old, I'll never forget, as an 18-year-old, I went to a hotel and I was like, hey, I'd like to book your hotel for a youth conference. And they're like, no, you don't. I was like, no, I really do. And I had three or four churches that I worked with. And the very first youth conference I ever did was based off of a verse in Isaiah 51, 15 and 16. Now, again, I've told you guys, I'm a surf bum. I'm a nerd from Florida who loves to surf. And I'll never forget the time I got thrown onto the rocks because I went and got caught in an undertow and it dragged me from where I was surfing to a not safe spot to surf. And the only way I could get out was to be thrown on top of the rocks. And the guy from Surfer Magazine came up to me and said, hey, can I get an interview with you? That was the most gnarly wipeout I've ever seen. And I was like, that's not why I want to be in Surfer Magazine, no. But in that moment, what I realized is this, because this verse in Isaiah talks about how it's I and the Lord your God, who stirs up the seas, who laid the foundations of the earth, who put you in the shadow of my hand, and who say to Zion, you're my people. And as an 18-year-old kid, I'll never forget how that changed my life, because I realized that God is not just big God in heaven who is like watching me with a magnifying glass. He cares about me. He knows me. Yes, he's the creator. He's the one who formed everything, who knit me together in my mother's womb. He is the God who put all the stars in place. But he knows me. He cares about me. He wants to have a relationship with me. And man, this week, as we look at the majesty of God, as you look at the bigness, walk around some of these rooms and see what the inside of a beehive would look like. I'll never be small enough to fit inside of a beehive, but I can go in the bumblebee room and I can see that. Or we can go to different rooms and you can see the flowers and things, and you can see it, and I hope it makes you think about the greatness, the bigness of God. But don't get lost just thinking about the greatness of God. Remember, in his greatness, he still cares about you. It says this in Scripture in Psalm chapter 8. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of your children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foes and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Over in Job, one of the passages, Job is, as we did our study through Job, this one stood out to me because Job's complaining. He's complaining about God's care for his life. But he says this, and to me it was kind of funny. Job's down on himself, but what he says about God is so remarkable. What is mankind that you make so much of them, that you give them so much attention, that you examine them every morning and test them every moment? Will you never look away from me? Or not let me alone for an instant. Man, God is always present with you. God is always actively involved in caring about what goes on in your life. We have a little bit of a crazy household. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not. But one of the things that has been remarkable for me to watch with Kelsey recently is this, is she's very deliberate about her attention to the kids at times. Because I know you don't believe this, but nobody ever wants dad's attention at our house. I'm just there. Mom has to see, has to hear, has to answer every question. And so there are times where literally she's dealing with five people asking her questions, saying things to her, and a dog who wants her attention too. And so she's got six things just cramming down, I need your attention, I need your attention. And she's been very intentional about being, hey, hold on just a second. Let me talk to them for a second. And what's neat to me about it is it's because she wants them to experience her full focus. Do you realize that with all the things that God has going on, He gives you His full focus? His eyes are constantly on you. There's nowhere you can go to flee from His presence. There's nothing you can do that He doesn't see, that He doesn't know, that He doesn't understand about what you're going through in life. You have God's full attention all the time. That's remarkable. And Peter, he talks about this. Cast your burdens on Him because He cares for you. In Deuteronomy 3:18, it says, or 3:8, it says this, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I know it's VBS week and nobody has any problems during VBS week. Can I encourage you, though? When you think about the magnificence of God this week, as you teach about the magnificence of God this week, as you go and you live your life away from VBS this week, but you've heard about this idea of being magnified, can I encourage you with the fact that God, as great, as wonderful, as majestic and wonderful and powerful and holy as He is still actively involved in what you're going through in life? He is still solely focused on you. Another thing that should cause us to do is because we know that God knows so much about us, it should cause us to trust Him. So this week and throughout the time, we want to magnify the trustworthiness of God. Trustworthy is an interesting phrase. I started to have fun, but I don't know if that's a good idea. Do you have anybody in your life you really trust? I mean, like, yeah, you know, but. Yeah, but. I trust her until she's driving. I have to be honest, I'm in church. Listen, y'all can laugh at me all you want. You do the same thing. You get in the car, and I think she's a great driver. I have no problems with that whatsoever at all. But something about not being in control makes me grab a little tighter on the handlebars. All right, we don't have handlebars. What is this bar? Yeah. Do you have anyone in your life that you could really say, I trust completely? What I think that happens is that makes us have a distrust for God. And again, we trust Him until He requires control from us. But listen, if God knows the number of hairs on your head, if His attention is solely focused on you at all times, if He is great enough, strong enough, mighty enough to put the universe together and hold it in place, can He be trusted? Can He be trusted to do what's best for you? Do you think He knows what's best for you? More than you at times? My kids, if I let them, would eat candy all day, every day, no problems. As a parent, I have to say, hey, listen, here's a chicken nugget, or here's something else, or something different than candy, right? Why? Because I know the best thing for them is not to eat candy all the time. But in order for them to know that dad's looking out for their best interest, they have to trust me first, don't they? I wonder if we magnify the trustworthiness of God. In other words, I wonder if we really understand we should marvel at God's love, we should marvel at the fact that we are inspired by the faithfulness and the truth in God's promises. Over and over again in Scripture, you find where He tells us He's faithful to forgive, He's faithful to fulfill, He's faithful to His promises. All through Scripture, it echoes, God can be trusted. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, You are God. I will exalt You, I will praise Your name. For You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Man, listen, I know a lot of this is, it's a coffee table accessory. It's what you keep by your bedside in case you needed it in a pinch. It's what you carry to church with you. You know how many promises are in this? You know how many lies about those promises are in here? Not a single one. Everything that God has promised has come true. And that's in here. That's in this book. That's not including what He's done in my life personally. That's not including all the different stories of times where I've failed and He's forgiven me, where I've placed my faith in Him and I've trusted Him and He's done way more than I could ever think or imagine. That's not including all my personal stories. That's just the stories that are in here. And not a single time has He ever lied. I wonder if we magnify God's trustworthiness or if we kind of wait for the other shoe to fall. And so in our trust for Him, we kind of hold back a little bit. This morning, or this week, and throughout the day, and just this time, I wonder if you'll magnify the trustworthiness of God. If you'll let people know He can be trusted. The last thing is this, is to magnify God's love, His mercy, and His grace. In Colossians chapter 3, it says this, bearing with one another, and if anyone is complaining against another, forgive it. For as the Lord forgiven you, so you must forgive. We should marvel at God's love, which initiated God's mercy to express God's grace in our lives. I have no clue why God loves me. I'm speechless when I think about the fact that God loves me. I'm not good. I mess up over and over and over again. I fall short constantly. There's nothing about me that should be like, whoa, John, that's one of those guys that I want to be with. That's somebody who I want on my team. I was never the first one picked in kickball, Brother Rocky. Never. I was average my entire life. I'm below average in some areas, like grades and stuff like that. But my whole life, I was average. I have no clue why God loves me. Not only was I average, but when it comes to His standard and what God requires, I was so far below average. I was literally the bottom of the barrel. But for some reason, God loved me. And He didn't just love me, He loved me enough to send His Son to die on a cross and shed His blood for my sins. And He decided to have mercy on me where He should have had judgment. And because He had mercy on me instead of judgment, I now get to experience God's grace in all my sins, past, present, future sins, all of them are forgiven. Everything I've ever done or ever will do has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have no clue why God would do anything like that for me. I wonder if This week we can magnify God's love, His mercy, His grace. In other words, if we could stand back and just have a moment of awe or admiration to say, God, I don't know why you love me, but I'm so thankful you do. This morning, as I was getting ready to come here, I had a moment where I just sat for a second. I know that's probably a bad idea on VBS week. You don't sit still ever. But I sat for a second and I asked myself the question, when was the last time I really was in awe of God's love in my life? When was the last time I really was grateful, was thankful, was grateful for God's grace and mercy in my life? Because I've been saved for so long, and it just kind of is, it's one of those things you live with. It's there. But I wonder this morning if you would just take a moment to magnify, to look at closely, and just be in awe of God's love, His mercy and His grace in your life. But going back, it doesn't, or given we look back at it from the very beginning, magnify doesn't just mean to admire, to awe, but it also means to make larger, to increase in significance. I wonder how many of us are making a bigger deal of God's love, His mercy, and His grace in our life. Ephesians chapter 4, going in from 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God forgave you. Put on a new self, a new creature, created in the likeness of God, a true and righteous and righteousness and holy. I wonder how many of us are making God's love and mercy and grace bigger than it is. See, here's the confession moment. I think I've got time for confession moments. I don't know. If not, sorry. I think what I do is this. I think of myself as better than I am. Therefore, I don't have to really think that much about God's grace and mercy. Because if I'm not that bad of a person, then He got me. It's not that bad of a deal, right? And because we think of that, we kind of make less of God's grace and mercy. But here's the problem. There's a world out there who, when they hear about God, they know. They know they're not living the way they should. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in their life. That's God's doing work in them and by letting them know, hey, listen, I'm not who I should be. And they'll deny it. They'll go with it and say, no, I'm all right. But they're making little of God's grace, His mercy, and His love. I think if we maybe were honest, or transparent, we're able to say to people, hey, listen, I am a nobody from nowhere who knows nothing, and I got nothing good to offer God. But somehow, He looked down and He saw me. And He loved me. And He had mercy on me. And He had grace in my life. And it takes a big old magnifying glass and says, you know how magnifying glasses work, right? I don't have one. I wish I did right now. If I take a magnifying glass and I do this, is it really going to do anything? No. You have to have a specimen. You have to have something to look at as the example to make bigger. The other day, Miss Bonnie was trying to give a magnifying glass to Thomas. And Thomas had no clue what a magnifying glass was. And so he's just running around like this and didn't notice anything different. But then Miss Bonnie got a little card that had a flower on it. And she said, Thomas, look at this. And he held it up and he goes, whoa. Because it made it bigger. See, I think a lot of times people out there don't know about God's grace, His mercy, His love, and how great it is. Because we don't take the magnifying glass and hold it up to ourselves. We don't want to be the specimen that's the example of God's grace and mercy and love. We don't want to extend God's grace and mercy and love to them. He says this, and he ends in Ephesians chapter 3, when I read this prayer, I was like, this is my prayer for us this week. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: I pray that of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Church, that's my prayer for us this week. That we would be filled with awe and wonder at the greatness of God. But we wouldn't stop there. We take the magnifying glass and we'd say, hey, listen, look at my life. It's not perfect. It's a mess. I have bad days. I lose my temper. But man, look at what God did with me. And as we do that, and as we're filled, it would become an overflow from our lives, and it would pour out into every single person who steps foot on this campus this week. And they would see the magnificence of God. Man, Ashley and David, thank you so much for sharing. That was not planned necessarily. I had no clue they were going to do that. That's a cool story. That's God using Vacation Bible School. And all of a sudden they came and they saw there's something to this. There's something about this God. There's something about His remarkableness. And it drew them and it draw them and it drew them and it drew them. And man, we got to baptize Ashley in Lake Caddo last week. Caddo Lake. Just messing with you guys. Just messing with y'all. Why? Because she came to Vacation Bible School and she saw the bigness of God. She saw the difference it made in her family, and all of a sudden that was what she wanted to do. I wonder who's going to step on campus this week. Who's going to need to see the bigness of God? But here's the thing. VBS is just a magnifying glass. We need the specimens that are willing to say, hey, listen, this is what God's done in my life. This is His greatness. This is His wonderfulness. This is His mercy, His love, and His power. And be that example. God, I love you so much, Lord. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for Vacation Bible School. And Lord, I thank you for this idea of magnifying your name. God, I pray that this week, as we go out from here, Lord, you would remind us of your greatness. God, that you would open our eyes to see the bigger world around us and all that you created in it. Father, as we take and take moments to pause and reflect on your greatness and your goodness, God, I pray that we would also understand the mission that's before us. God, to make your name great in all the world. God, I pray that you would use Vacation Bible School, that you would use circumstances and situations in our life as a magnifying glass to allow others to see Christ in us and just how great He is. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. It has been awesome to worship with you today. Hey, listen, it doesn't have to end now. Come back, be here, 5 o'clock. Listen, we're going to have, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be a day full of fun today. So go have some lunch, go do something, come back, join us tonight. Be here at any point in time that you can this week, even if it's not the whole time, even if it's for a night or for a day. We'll have something for everybody. We'll have places that you can go and be involved, or places that you can sit in fellowship, and it's going to be awesome. So, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Let me pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we ask that you would be with Vacation Bible School. Lord, we pray that you would be with every single person in this room today. Lord, that as we've come, we've heard your word. Lord, we walk out of this place differently than we walked in. Father, we walk out of here with a greater understanding and appreciation for you and who you are and who you've called us to be. God, we pray that you would now let us leave this place. Let your grace, your mercy, and your love shine through our lives into a world that needs to see it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.